Today, the scripture text will be 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. And this is the last Sunday of 2023. A lot going on here as the announcements unfolded. And it's good to be a part of the church that's trying to go forward for 2023. And I want to teach this morning on preparations for the mission field. And it's an informative type lesson that goes along with the series I'm developing on missions. Why missions? Why do we send missionaries? What is a missionary? Can anybody be a missionary? Some questions like that. And I realize that on Wednesday night services, there's some material packed into the sermon and the message that has us looking forward to this coming year and how we can be more effective as a New Testament church that wants to be involved in reaching others. That's what missions are about, reaching others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, and I'm probably a little off base here this morning. I think I stay off base. I don't know. I just part of it, Stevie. I don't know. Psalms 1 quickly. This is not in the lesson. This is impromptu. And this is don't go off script type thing, you know. But I got to thinking about Psalms 1, and it's one of my go-to verses when I deal with adversity. You say, what do you mean? Well, when I'm tempted to sin, just like you or anybody else, think the wrong things, say the wrong things. You know the drill. And it caused me to think of the contrast that I see in Psalms chapter 1. It says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning, not unusual for an old guy with rheumatoid arthritis, you know, all the aches. And aren't you glad I'm your forerunner? You know what you have to look forward to. So as I rolled around there, I was doing a little, you know, praying. Oh, Lord, help me get out of bed, you know, one of them deals. Psalms 1 came to me because I was thinking, you know what, you know, it's a struggle. It's tough sometimes. You want to think the wrong things, say the wrong things, do the wrong things, be the wrong thing. Yeah, you can say amen right there. You're guilty, just like me. And this psalm came to me. And it's a contrasting psalm. I'm going to call it a contrast between good and evil. And when he starts talking there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's for anybody that's saved by the grace of God. You don't have to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because there will be somebody sitting around trying to give you directions on how to be ungodly. Huh. And if there's nobody around, your crazy little mind will start wandering off into ungodly sort of things. Huh? And so aren't you glad that on the spiritual side of things, see, you got to fight this old stinking flesh. Say, I thought you were going to teach on missions. I am. I'm old. Give me a break. Humor me. I'm not as old as some of you guys. Ted, don't say nothing. And it's a contrast, and you don't have to listen. And he says here to the ungodly, and you don't have to stand in the way of sinners. You know there's more sinners out there than there are. You don't have to stand with them. You don't have to be with them. You don't have to fraternize with them. Huh? I'm just giving you Psalms 1. This ain't the lesson. Watch it. He says, so don't stand with them, and nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I do a lot more sitting down today than I've ever done before in my life. And I don't know if you've got a smartwatch, smartphone, I don't know. We got all these trinkets and gadgets. I like all that. So I don't know why, but I'm not good with it. But it tells me I walk any place, I take anywhere between, I think yesterday was 8,900 steps. It's not unusual for me to go 12,000 steps in a day. Then I wonder why I ache. So you say, well, what are you trying to say? I sit down a lot. You know, when you sit down, you generally occupy yourself with TV, Facebook, watch out. And the next thing you know, you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. And you got to watch that stuff. So I go to Psalms chapter 1 quite a bit, and I guard myself. I kind of test myself. I kind of say, self, I'm judging you. Don't do that, don't do that, and don't do that. You say, well, what are you trying to be, a good guy? Yeah, trying to be. trying to be. But if it wasn't for the scriptures, I couldn't pull it off. I couldn't even get close. Thank God for Psalms. So a psalm for the new year, I guess you can entitle this. I'll get to the lesson in a minute. But there, let me just add that Psalms chapter 1 shows you the contrast between good and evil. You're a child of God, go with the good. Don't expect the heathen to. Psalms chapter 2 talks about the heathen. Why do the heathen rage? Why? They're misfits. They're delusional. They don't know God. There's a lot of religious folks in that same category, and I don't mean to preach on that. Psalms chapter 3 and Psalms chapter 4, those four psalms kind of line you out for the new year. Go back and read it. This is extra. I shouldn't have probably 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. I want to get on my missions and get you ready to go to the mission field. I can't go to the mission field. Well, you might could. I don't know. Paul told Timothy, now Phil's telling you, some of you are paying attention, I don't know. Yeah, let me read it to you. Might have it misconstrued, upside down and backwards, but we got it. Howbeit, for this cause, Paul talking to young man Timothy here, I obtained mercy. Thank God for mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. I could stop right there at that comma and I probably could preach you a message right on that. But watch, here's the part I want you to see. For a pattern. Now watch out when he starts talking about pattern. God showed Moses a pattern up on the mountain, and that pattern had to do with the tabernacle. And he come back and built that tabernacle where the mercy seat finally was, and where the holy place was, and where the holy of holies was, and where they offered up all the sacrifices. You say, what was that? Listen, it was done to a pattern, and it was the pattern of God, and Moses brought it back and built that thing. I know another man, his name was Noah. God gave him a pattern and gave him a set of plans, and he built an ark, and that ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, anybody that gets in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're gonna sail, man. I'm preaching again. Watch out. I'm supposed to be teaching. So I want you to notice the latter part of that so that I can make reference to my lesson. And the title of my lesson today is Preparation for Missions or for the Mission Field. And I know you're already saying, I'm too old to go. Well, hang on. We still need to know. I'll say three things this morning. Prepare by serving in a local church, number one. Number two, prepare by spending time alone with our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, prepare through mentoring relationships with other godly ministers or missionaries. That's what I'm going to say this morning. So if I get off trail, you've got the outline. Come on back. For a pattern, verse 16, 1 Timothy chapter 1, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Isn't that what it's all about? Telling somebody else how to get saved? You ain't telling them how to get religion. I ain't going to try to get you to be a Baptist. I'm not going to try to get you to be anything. But I am going to try to show you the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you. You say, why? That's the business of the church, telling others about Christ. You know, our missionaries go out of here and they don't specifically go out to go build another Baptist church. That's way down the list. I don't care what they call the church. The Ephesian church was just that, the Ephesian church. The Corinthian church was just that, the Corinthian church. The Roman church, the church at Philippi, you get the drift. That denominational thing just come along later. And I think Pastor Jeremiah taught on Wednesday night, you'd have to pull that up and look at that and get a hold of that. I don't want to reteach what the pastor was saying or anything, but you understand, our business is not making denominational institutions. We're not here to raise up monasteries to infidelity. I'll settle down. I'm sorry, Nick. I got a little off base there. But you got a lot of religious organization running all over the world, and they're only the only concern is their religion. I'm worried about, Paul said this, I care to know nothing about you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, a free pardon sin? I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you smoke dope. I don't care if you eat steak. I don't care if you don't like fish. I don't care about any of that.
Now you're mad.
Yeah. Notice, especially that last part of the verse, for a pattern. So we're going to look at a little bit of the pattern the Bible sets forth for those people that want to go forth and tell others about Christ. That's what missions is. Missionary. We had a missionary in the other night. His name was Paul Gray. He and his wife came, and we remember Paul when he got saved. Kevin Warner sits over to my left about midway. He and his wife, Kevin's wife is Elaine, Miss Elaine, is Paul Gray's sister. And so that I remember when the first Gray got saved. The first Gray that got saved was Paul's brother, Donnie. When Donnie got saved, he went home and he told his brother, and his brother got saved. And his brother turned around and told his sister, and she got saved. You say, what is that? And then it was catching, man. That whole family got saved. And now the mother, you'll see them bring her mother to church, Paul's mother. She got saved. Say, what did they get saved from? Well, they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. They got saved from dying in their sin and going to hell. Amen. That's what it was. And so now Paul felt the burden to prepare himself and go tell others. He'd already started in his family, in his home. And then he went to the Ukraine. He and another man, Richard Mayer, we knew both those men back when they were young, just got saved, but been in church a little while. And I'll tell you the process scripturally of how that happens. And now, what do you say, 23 years he's been over there or longer? I can't remember. And he was back, gave us a report as to what they was doing, showed us a slide presentation of what's going on in Ukraine. And you know, they're in war. You know all that. I don't want to give you a current events report. But he still goes. Now, he's finally moved his family to the States. And now he goes back and forth to help the churches he started, kind of like the Apostle Paul when he took his missionary journeys, and that's what it's called. And he went from church to church to church and church. It's not unusual. Churches start other churches, and it all starts by telling somebody about Christ, them trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, them getting saved, and then pretty soon you got two or three people saved. Then pretty soon you're meeting once a week or twice a week. And say, well, when are we going to meet? Well, let's meet on Sunday. That's when everybody else meets. That's the first day of the week. That's the day Christ resurrected from the grave. Let's do that. Well, let's meet another time. When should we meet? Let's meet Wednesday night. Why Wednesday night? Well, Wednesday night's when they crucified him and he was in the ground. and resurrected on Sunday. So we meet on Sundays, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, if you wondered where that came from. So there is a pattern by which we have learned how to prepare for the mission field. And that's a good question, because when I got saved, I was a kid. I was 12. I didn't know anything about missions. Had no idea. But as I grew into a man and I continued to go to church, I learned about missions, and I learned that I had a heart for missions. And I think that's a mouthful right there. But it has to do with reaching somebody else. Sometimes it's somebody that doesn't even speak your language, but God lays them on your heart, and you want to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. In all that, two of my daughters married young men. Both of those men were from Michigan, different parts of Michigan, but they're both from Michigan. One had grown up on the mission field, and the other one surrendered to go to the mission field. And I think Bethany told me they've been there 17 years this year, except maybe 18. And then Doug and Jana spent the first 15 to 17 years of their life in the very interior of Mexico. And he still ministers and helps people come to the saving knowledge of Christ, and they start mentoring programs in churches and things like that. So very interesting. Could I say first that there are many enemies to what I want to talk about today? And when I say that, I think of what Paul told the Corinthian church as they struggled in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. They were kind of carnal, and they struggled with doing things right for God, but they're listed in the scriptures and we're told about them. But he says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 16, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Do you understand what he's saying? He's trying to reach folks. He wants this church to be instrumental in reaching folks for Christ. But there are many adversaries. That means there's troubles. An adversary is someone that's against you. And so he's making this statement in verse 9. So along with the open door of opportunity, and by the way, the scripture teaches us that the field, and he's talking of the world, the field is white already unto harvest. And what it's not the crop that's out there. There's plenty of folks. He says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest." And the laborers are you and me. And we got to go tell somebody about Christ. So this thing, missions, this thing sending a missionary, this thing of a missionary or someone going and said, "Hey, I'm going to Mexico, I'm going to India, I'm going to Alaska, I'm going to Africa, I'm going to Cuba," or wherever they want to go, wherever they can get in, is nothing new. We have just been overcome by the adversary and we forgot about it. We get busy doing other things, and the next thing we know, somebody's got us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Huh? Got us walking with those ungodly folks, and we've just got too many Bengals games to go to and too many Reds games. Oh, man, I'm meddling now, Preacher Tom. So we may have the message. We may have the method. We may have the money, and we do. We're Americans. We got money. Well, I don't have much, but you've got money. But you know what I'm saying. You cut a cross section across the countries of this world, and we're one of the richest, if not the richest country in the world. That's what I'm saying. We've got money. So we've not only got a message, the word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. We've got the methods. We've got here, when I say method, we've got the word of God. We've got Christians. We've got the money to get it done. And we've actually got the manpower. Look how many people's here today. And this is just Sunday school. So with all that said, still, we're not sending any missionaries. Nobody's surrendering to preach. Nobody's going to the foreign field. You say, what happened? Well, we get wrapped up in the quagmire, the adversaries. There's plenty to do. That verse was 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Paul knew that, but he said, and there are many adversaries. He was faced with opposition. He was faced with people saying, ah, you don't want to do that. Ah, you'll ruin your family. Ah, you'll mess your whole life up. You're going to Mexico. Well, them kids, they'll be morons before they... I've heard it all. I'll tell you what, I'll put my grandkids up against any of them. You say, why? Their mom and dad sold out and went to the mission field. And you know what? God blessed them. That's what he did. God's blessed them. So those three biblical points, prepare by serving in a local church. I guess that'd be my first thought. It's God's pattern in the New Testament. That's where we're at, which simply means there is no better pattern for preparing for the work of Christ than the local church. Thank God for the church today. Paul prepared by serving in the local church. His conversion, remember he got saved on the Damascus Road in about Acts chapter 9. We won't go read it, but that's where it happened. His Jewish name was Saul. And he was called Saul from Acts chapter 9 all the way up to Acts chapter 13. By the time you get to Acts chapter 13, at about verse 9, these nines are showing up. And then his Roman name is used, and that name is Paul. You know him as Paul. And that's Acts 13 and verse 9. There's another 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, that's what the scripture says, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him. And even from his new birth, he began to tell others about Christ. Boy, they didn't trust him. They did not trust him. You say, why? Well, number one, he was a murderer. You say, well, he was religious. He was a Pharisee, wasn't he? Didn't he have one of them long robes on and do all that stuff? Didn't he know the law and all that? Yeah, but he was busy killing Christians or anybody that said they believed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was killing them, incarcerating them. He had papers. He took and he went and he arrested them and took them to the theater and threw them to the lions. Now, what if that guy just showed up at church one day and you knew he had just killed about 150 Christians? He said, yeah, I'm preaching for you today. I just got saved. Why, you'd have thought Joel Osteen stepped into church. I could have said Joyce Myers or Kenny Copeland. I don't know. I hope those aren't your heroes. I'm sorry. I'm in trouble. Drop a name, man. Nick, you don't want to do that, son. Anyhow, here we go. There's a pattern. His conversion, we looked at it. In 3 days after his salvation, let me just give you a little rundown on how we're following Paul. We're looking at his pattern, at what he did. He was probably the greatest missionary that ever lived. He traveled from here to here to here to here to here, and it starts early. But 3 days after he was saved, he got saved. See, what happened to him on the Damascus Road? You go read it, Acts chapter 9. The Lord accosted him there, arrested him. Say whatever you want. I'm preaching right now. The Lord took it up with him. And brother, when the Lord took it up with him, he knew something was happening. He wasn't for sure what was happening, but something was happening. I've got news for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of God, gets on your trail, you'll know something's happening. Amen. Blinded him. I said, go on down to the tanner's house. He'll tell you what you need to do. And he went down there and got saved. They said, yeah, you need to trust Christ. You've been persecuting Christ. And he said, Lord, who art thou? The Lord told him, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that's the pricks of the Holy Ghost of God. He kept convicting him, hey, you're not doing this thing. You might be religious. You might be a Pharisee. You might know the law and the letter of the law. You dress like a priest. You look like a priest. You act like a priest. You've done all those things, but you're not saved. And you need to be born again. And when you get saved, you'll change. And when you look at that thing, he got saved over there. In 3 days after his salvation, Paul had followed Christ in water baptism and identified with the church right there in Damascus. He was on the Damascus Road. You've heard the story. You've heard the song sung about it. It's a hot spot today over in that part of the world, Damascus. But there was a church in Damascus. And he identified with that church. The local church is God's ordained institution. Amen. And when I say that, there's only about 3 or 4 institutions God ordains. The husband and wife. Amen. That's not, I better not say that, Nick. Steve, he knows what to come back. I can't say that. He ordained the family, the home. He ordained the nation of Israel. He ordained human government so that we can govern our old sinful selves. Amen. And he sanctioned and he instituted the church. That's the only 4 institutions God instituted. Now, you might have an institution for drunks or an institution for this, for that, but God didn't sanction it and God didn't ordain it. And the church is that institution. So I'm probably giving you a little more theology than I intended to here. The local church is God's ordained institution, for that's what got me started, for the propagation of the gospel. It's the church's business to preach the gospel. Well, what's the gospel? Shaking hands? No. Meeting and eating? No. Well, what do I got to do to be a Baptist? Show up every service and own a casserole dish? Will that do it? No. I know you thought we just meet, eat, and greet. No. Our job is to preach the gospel. You say, what is that? That's the cross. The preaching of the cross is the power. And man, I'm here standing here telling you as a 70, almost 74-year-old man, real soon. Man, this is the last day of the year. Wow. Getting old. As an old man, you need the preaching of the cross. It's the power of the gospel and the resurrection that I believe and that I preach and that this book substantiates and God ordained and God instituted in the church. And man, today the church is doing everything but preaching the gospel. We're involved in everything but missions, preaching the gospel and getting other folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, it is where new converts are to be nurtured in the faith. I'm talking about the church. You want to know how you prepare for the mission field? Number one, you get saved. Number two, you get saved, you get baptized, and you get into a church. Well, brother, you don't understand, man. I'm 85 years old. If I get saved, I can't go to the mission field. Hang on. I got something for you to do. God's got something for you to do. Just stay with it. If your heart is right and your motive is right, God can use you. I don't care how old you are. You ain't heard a missionary come through here that didn't say, thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers. You don't understand. We cross that border every day and there's guards with guns everywhere. There's people trying to steal American kids everywhere. Thank you for your prayers. They're not worried about your $50 you sent. They're worried about you praying for them. So if you're 85 years old and you've got a heart that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can pray for the missionaries that can go in your place. Amen. And I didn't mean to preach like this, but it's the last Sunday of the year. Let me do it. Amen. Spoken by the old pastor that sits over here and keeps a hand on things. Amen. Now look, you're my class, so I can talk to you. And this is not in the lesson, but I need to tell you that I should have told you when I started, but being old like a senile, first stages of dementia and all that stuff. I have a vision convergency issue. My wife was trying to explain it to somebody the other day. She said, she's one of the kids. She said, yeah, your daddy's having seizures. I am not having seizures. That's the best she could do. But I'm not supposed to be trying to drive at night until I get this thing figured out. And what happens, your eyes look, when you just stand like this and look, your eyes kind of go out like that for that panoramic view. But when you grab that cell phone and you hit Facebook and you look, your eyes converge onto that focus just like that. And you're looking, oh, look at that. They said that. Oh, and then you look back up and your eyes have to go back out. That's convergent, converging, converging. I focus fine because now if you're a hillbilly, you would just understand my eyes cross. Say, he's a little cross-eyed, but you'll be okay. Or you might be more educated than that, and you might say, well, he's got a lazy eye. Well, I got two lazy eyes. They don't want to get back on base. So in the morning, I'm full of coffee and caffeine and sugar, and, you know, I'm doing good. When I get a little tired, Pastor, wheels want to fall off. So I'm telling you, if I don't show up tonight, it's because I'm worried about all those other people out there on the road that I'm going to run off the road, because when they're coming at me, I see three or four of them. And it's not good. I am not having seizures, though. I knew I could depend on my godly class for advice, well-centered and well-sounded, that will help this old man navigate through this 2020 issue I'm having. So if you want to know what's wrong with me, I don't see as good as I used to, amen? I've had the MRI, no tumor, no brain. Well, I guess there was a brain, just no tumor. There we go. Back on base. How do you get ready to go to the mission field? You get saved, you get baptized, you get in a local church just like Paul did. Later, when he went on down, he was at the Damascus church. It is where new converts are to be nurtured in the faith. And then later, when he went to Jerusalem, that's what we do around here. We've always had a teaching program here. Back when Pastor Tom was pastor, we had classes, we taught, we had institute, we started institute. We even started a Christian school so the kids can learn at an early age, and they learn about Bible things and mission things and things like that. And now we're getting ready to fire back up the Reformers Unanimous. I think we're going to call it something else. And that's all about telling others about Christ. You say, what is that? That's mission work. That's what that is. That's mission work. And then as this solidifies and this grows and this actually gels, then we'll be able to reach out from here. And I think about Samuel's ministry. He reaches out to the Amish people. There's nobody doing that. But Samuel, being ex-Amish, he got saved. So he's in the church. His family's in the church. And they're off time gone. I'm glad they're here today, but they're someplace telling somebody else about their work, trying to get them to pray for them and maybe help them a little financially. And then they go try to tell Amish people. And when they come out, they take them in, see that they get saved, get them grounded. What is that? That's mission work. And you'll see from this congregation, and if the Lord tarries in 2024, somebody rise up and say, hey, I'm going to, now if they come and say, I'm going to Hawaii, we're going to have them meet with the board. Adam's already laughing. He was thinking he was going to Hawaii as a missionary. You could. I have friends that are in Hawaii. Castellaws are missionaries in Hawaii. How'd they pull that off? I have no idea. But anyway, telling others. But it all starts getting saved, getting baptized, getting in a church, getting taught, getting mentored by other godly men and teachers and Bible teachers that will bring you along and show you how this is supposed to work. And I'm just explaining to the class as we move through this lesson, these lessons on missions, how it works. And later, when Paul leaves Damascus, he goes to Jerusalem. he affiliated with the church there. And you remember that they were afraid of him because they knew him as the Pharisee that killed Christians. He was a murderer. But you know, when God saves a person, he saves him to the uttermost. He don't care if you were a Pharisee. He don't care if you was a has-been Baptist, huh? Plenty of Baptists out there that had never been saved. Amen. I can say that. I am one, but I'm one that's saved. Later, then he goes from Jerusalem to Tarshish. Remember that? And he was from Tarshish. And then to Antioch. And Antioch is when he met them all there. And that's, the Bible says, that's where they were first called Christians, in Antioch. And these are surrounding towns where he worked through the church. The local church was the training ground for the greatest missionary that ever lived and is still the best place to be trained. I'm not for sending somebody off to some school someplace. And Brittany went to PCC, Pensacola Christian College. Titus went to West Coast Baptist College, 4-year degree. I'm not against schools and I'm not against education, but be careful when you farm what you're supposed to be doing out to somebody else. Hence why we started Hoosier Hills Bible Institute, why we started some of the things you saw started here in the last 10 years. Amen. Be careful with that. So here, the local church, Paul prepared by spending time alone with Jesus. Take your Bible, and I've got to watch my time. Galatians chapter 1. You got the Corinthians, and the first epistle after 2 Corinthians is Galatians. And I want you to look there in verse 10. Paul prepared by spending time alone with Jesus. This is very important for the person that gets saved and gets baptized, gets in the church, and wants to actually serve God. Now, most of the time, they get engrossed into their work or their business or their job of some kind, or their hobby or whatever they're doing, and they forget totally about how they come to know the Lord. But Paul, not the way. Look, if you would, in verse 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Question. Or do I seek to please men?" And the answer to those questions is no. He's not seeking to please men. "For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Listen, when you step out and you become a servant of Christ, and that's what we're talking about here, and that's what he's getting ready. I'm showing you the next phase of this thing. Saved, baptized, church membership, some mentoring, and now learning to spend time alone, one-on-one with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not there to please yourself. You're not there to please somebody else. You're there to please your God, our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So watch what he says. He says, I'm in Galatians 1:10, verse 11, "But I certify you," good, that means it's the real deal, "brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Amen. You say, well, okay, what did he preach? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says he preached, here's how you get saved, believing in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "and whosoever," boy, ain't you glad he said that, "and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's it. And well, watch this. He says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now look, there are certain things you can learn being around the godly men of the church, the pastors and the teachers and the leadership in the church. But brother, there are some things you're not going to learn unless you learn how to spend time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to learn some invaluable things. Let me ask you right here. Now, I'm out of time. How much time, let's say you're saved. Let's say you follow the Lord in baptism. Let's say you joined the church and you're a member and you come to Sunday school class church and you get out every time chance you get. How much time do you spend alone with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you value that alone time? I spoke this morning to some friend, Brother Vince, and young man with him. I was in my shop this morning. I have a wood shop. That's nothing to write home about, but it's insulated, air-conditioned, and heated. sawdust everywhere, piece of this going on, a piece of that going on. I was looking for a screw and a washer and putting a doorknob on the crock pot so I can make spare ribs and sauerkraut tomorrow. 2 old chairs I got from yard sales in there. But you know what? That's kind of my mecca. I get in there. I sit down. Sometimes I listen to my Bible. I have a speaker system in there, and I dial my phone in and have the King James Bible read to me right there. I get through 8, 9, 10 chapters of that. I turn a little Squire Parsons on. I listen to him sing, or somebody else. And then I can get down in the sawdust and get a little dirt on my britches and talk to the God and the Savior that saved me. And my mind will get to thinking on him. And I think about his hands and how he was a carpenter and he worked with that wood, and he could identify the wood by the smell of the wood and the sawdust and the feel. And he knew when it was too wet and when it might be too dry. And he knew just what finish to put on it and just how to rub it. He was a carpenter when he was on this earth. But oh, my friend, he was way more than that. He is the Savior of the world. We say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, last point, spend some quality alone time with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, you won't do it. But if you know him, or you're trying to get to know him, say, well, he's not here, he's not right. I know God is a spirit and must be worshiped in spirit and truth, but thank God for the spiritual connection between every believer and the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my advocate and who is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me as I spend a little alone time. I wasn't only looking for a bolt and a handle and a washer and a nut and a... I was trying to get a hold of my Savior that saved me and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for putting more in me than the devil can put on me. Thank you, Lord. And Psalms 1, come to me again. And I want to meditate in thy law day and night. I want to be pleasing in your sight. Let's quit. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to teach. And Lord, as preparing to tell others about Christ, definitely takes the local church. It definitely takes spending time alone with you. And it takes time spending time with those godly ministers and teachers and servants of the Lord that have gone before and that can teach and preach. Lord, bless now as we close out our service. Bring a joy through the singing today and fulfillment there. Bless the preaching of the word. Save that soul that's nearest hell. May they come to you in a free pardon of sin. Now bless the service as we continue in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. And we'll pick up some more things on missions.